The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What's up, nerds? Miss me? All right, there you go. I couldn't even see the shot, Raj, before the show started. See, this is why I need to see the shot. This is why. You see how
you got to see yourself all the time?
Look,
you're a handsome man.
Yeah, well, that clearly. But the camera is all on this. And if I could have seen the shot ahead of time, I could have changed and made sure that we didn't see this part. See what I mean?
Ah, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. I'll push
the running
right
a public access
time.
Show here. Look, I'll just face the camera. Is that good? Here, I'll face the camera. I just do a public access.
No, that
show.
Freaks me out. No, don't do
no,
that.
No, I'm going to face the camera now because no one can be bothered to set the show. This is what Max on Boxing used to look like in the 80s on Manhattan Public Access. Swear to God. What are we having a private call here?
Our compassion's covering the box.
Oh, okay. So there's something covering the side of the box. Good. Listen, you can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Falcons blew it. Cam and Russ were slinging it. So was Aaron Rodgers, by the way. And Tom Brady's overrated on Monday morning, exactly as I told you he would be. Where to start? What a Sunday night game. I mean, it was hard to go to sleep after that. It was exhilarating, you know? And then for it to get to the goal line, and Belichick with Cam Newton and a chance to win the game, you just assumed, well, here it comes. They're going to come out with a heavy package, and they're going to make it, and then Belichick will throw a wrinkle into it. As he did when Cam threw that little floater touchdown pass instead of running it in, especially since Jamal Adams seemed to start getting their number a little bit defensively and stopped Cam on the other, you know, when Cam was trying to run it in on the previous play where he tried to run it in. Not the previous play, but the last time they were near the goal line and Cam tried to run it in. Jamal Adams stuffed him. Look, that was a great game. It was the best football game I'd seen play in quite a while. Like, top to bottom, really a crisp game, but also two great quarterbacks in their primes. Russell Wilson, Belichick's right, is underrated. He's underrated. As great as everyone thinks that they think he is, they don't really understand how great he is. He's an all-time great, still ascending in his prime. And Cam Newton, you realize anyone could have had him for a couple million dollars a year? A couple million bucks a year, you could have had Cam Newton? You telling me there are no teams that need quarterbacks? Oh, I mean, the last time he was the MVP, voted by his peers best player in the game when he won the MVP and took his team to the Super Bowl, where they lost partly because he didn't jump on a loose ball, basically, which I criticized him for at the time. People got him on him for his press conference. He wouldn't answer questions. Who cares? Jump on the ball, Cam. But okay, he didn't look as good as he did that year for a while, but then when last seen healthy, when Norv Turner was his OC, Cam looked maybe better than he'd ever looked, certainly from the pocket throwing the ball. Then he got hurt. So if he was healthy, why wouldn't you expect an MVP caliber player? If he was the MVP voted by his peers in the middle of Rodgers, Brady's, Breeze's, everyone's prime, but everyone in the league said, that dude is better than all those guys. And then he improved in certain important ways when last healthy. Why would you doubt that he's a franchise player if he's healthy again? And he's healthy again. And Cam had mustered on those throws all night. He looked great. And Russell Wilson looked great. But what I was saying about the last play of the game, it comes down to the last play of the game. Belichick now has Cam Newton. Right? It's not just Brady with a quarterback sneak, right? It's Cam Newton. So I would expect a little wrinkle, a little deception in the play. And then afterwards, after the game, because Cam got stopped, Bobby Wagner and them are no joke. I mean, that's an excellent defense when it needs to be. Kind of reminds me of the Patriots in the sense that you can get down to the red zone, but then there's a problem. But I would expect a little more deception from Belichick. After the game, he's talking about, well, look, we went with what we thought was our best play. Okay, I get it. But if you can pick up a couple yards there, you're 2-0 with a win not only in your division, but against a team who I thought was going to represent the NFC, and I still believe is going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Usually, I wouldn't say the trade for a safety makes the difference, but the game has changed. Secondary play, much more important now. And you know, you look at Minkah Fitzpatrick with the Steelers, what he did for them last year, midseason trade, 8-8 without their quarterback. And you look at what Jamal went. So anyway, when Jamal Adams got traded to the Seahawks, I went from, I think it's the Saints' time. Like, finally, once they got Emmanuel Sanders, they have the number two receiver. They're going to come out of the conference. Once Seattle got Jamal Adams, I switched. I think it's Seattle. And I think they showed you why so far. And then, of course, Russell Wilson's over 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. He has such – talk about – Trent Dilfer talks about arm talent. It's not just how hard you throw the ball, right, or even how accurately exactly. It's do you throw a catchable ball? Russell Wilson, there are guys with prettier spirals and guys with more kind of electric arms, but he's got arm talent. You know, he throws his receivers open with such a soft touch, just kind of floats it over the defense. It reminds me of like a point guard with a floater in the lane, you know? Kind of unstoppable. It's unstoppable at times. And an all-time great in his prime. Like, if people talk about how great, you know, not long ago, well, Roethlisberger is a future Hall of Famer. What about Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson is better than Roethlisberger's ever been. Roethlisberger's never been as good as Russell Wilson is right now. And it's not like, I mean, Russell Wilson has been, maybe he's better than he's ever been now, but he's been MVP level now for, well, I mean, when Cam won MVP over the second half of that year, Russell Wilson was better than him. And Cam deserved the MVP, but in the second half, Russell Wilson was the best player in football. And every single year, no matter who else is there, it's almost in its way like LeBron James. Like it's LeBron James like in the sense that every year, no matter who else is there for the MVP, LeBron is right there. You could argue for him. Russell Wilson's kind of like that. The names keep changing every year. Who else should be in the MVP conversation? But Russell Wilson's name is always there, and he's getting better and better. That was a great game. And to think that came at the end of a day where the Dallas Cowboys the Dallas Cowboys came all the way back on the Falcons. I'm laughing because Stephen A. Smith was so active on social media tweeting up a storm, and I was with him. But man, it was the Falcons. So I just thought to myself, I was going to jump in on it, and I thought, stay off it. It's Atlanta, man. You know, there's some franchises like the Chargers are like this. You feel like no lead is safe. That was, by the way, Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. No lead is safe. This is more Straight Talk. How do you like that? They get more Straight Talk. I'll give you some Crooked Talk later. But no lead is safe if you're a Falcons fan or a Chargers fan. Chargers, I can get to that later. I mean, I never thought they were going to win that game. That's how special Mahomes is. Whatever. Mahomes got this, and he did. It's amazing. But it was the Falcons. So I thought, just sit this one out. Let's see what happens. I couldn't believe as I watched it develop. And then finally, the onside kick. It wasn't simply that. Like, sometimes in any sport, this can happen in baseball. A guy forgets how many outs there is and tags up or doesn't tag up when he should. In basketball, a guy forgets how many timeouts there are and calls a timeout and it costs the team. In football, I get one player not understanding, yo, this is an onside kick. You can touch it whenever you want. How did 6 dudes, look at this, they form a circle around it as though it's a kickoff. Sorry, a punt. What were they thinking about? What were they thinking about? I'm watching this on ESPN News as we're playing it now. No one, they thought the spin was so funky that they couldn't touch it. It's not that. It's not that. They got confused. The whole team, a special teams, just got confused. That was bizarre. Cowboys win. I'm not that impressed. I mean, Dak Prescott is very good. By the way, as I said about Russell Wilson and Tom Brady, you could say the same thing about Prescott so far. Tom Brady and Russell Wilson always reminded me a lot of each other, or rather, Wilson reminded me of Brady, in the sense that Tom Brady entered the league, you felt like he was a winner. Well, you felt that way because he's excellent, but mainly early on because he had the greatest coach of all time, like great coach, great defense, and a running game. And Brady could always get them. You know, he was a game manager who was big on third down, which is what you're looking for in the NFL, really. Game manager, big on third downs, excellent thing to have. But a lot of times something less than elite, and that was Brady early on. Game manager, big on third downs, playing for a great coach behind a great defense and a run game. So all you'd have to do was, you know, the game would be tight, the game would be close, it's a Belichick coach team, and toward the end of a game, Brady just had to get them within field goal distance, and then they kick a field goal and win, right? Like, this was the Patriots' way early on. And Brady got out of proportion credit, even though Peyton Manning, during the regular season, was way better than Brady, way better in the regular season than Brady, not close. But a funny thing happened. Brady, because he was coached by the coach he is, because he's so internally motivated, because he learned and got better as he got older and they got him more weapons, eventually he went from game manager, big on third down, getting disproportional credit because he plays for a great coach with a defense and a run game, to, oh, no, you can build an offense around that guy. That guy's a stud. And Brady started putting up Peyton numbers. Russell Wilson, same thing. Early on, game manager, big on third down, he's reading the Legion, he's riding the Legion of Boom, right? And Pete Carroll, player coach. Pete Carroll's a great coach. You have to say that at this point. And getting disproportional credit. Remember, they didn't think it was about Russell Wilson really early on. Game manager, big on third down. Funny thing happened. He got better and better until suddenly it was like, no, you can build an offense around that guy. He's great. Maybe the same thing's happening with Dak. We'll see. I think of him that way. Game manager, I know the numbers don't always show it, but I trust him on third down. Who's good, and some people want to believe he's great. He's not there yet, but maybe he's trending in that direction. Doesn't happen for everyone. But Brady and Russell Wilson certainly that way. Maybe the same thing's true with Dak. So you give Dallas credit for hanging around because they have a leader like Dak. But that's a Falcons collapse. That's a meltdown. And sometimes it does come down to one play. Well, how'd they get back in the game? I don't want to hear that. How'd they get back in the game? It's like, you know, all sports can be games of runs. One team does well in the first half. The other team comes back in the second half. Sometimes it does come down to a play. It came down to an onside kick. Don't let them recover an onside kick. That's it. That's a meltdown by the Falcons. Well, a lot to get into. 877-SAY-ESPN. Sorry, did I say 877? That was the old L.A. number. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. I mean, so what have I gone through? So much already. Like, yesterday was one of those epic sports days because I decided not to watch Red Zone because, you know, I especially watch Red Zone when I get into my DraftKings league. But Raj sets up this DraftKings league always, like clockwork, tells everyone to enter. I'm the first dude to enter. Then it turns out he screwed something up, so he makes another league. And I got locked out of that league.
It wouldn't have mattered this week, man. I had a big week. I told Kyler Murray, I told you, man, I was taking him at that price, man. You see what Kyler did to them, man? Look at him. Whoa!
Yeah, anyway, I got locked out of that league. So because I wasn't in DraftKings, I didn't watch Red Zone. I thought to myself, you know what? Let me just watch games. So I actually sat through three full football games. And I watched some baseball. And what? I watched a playoff game. Basketball. So, Lakers. So like, you're talking about endless hours of actually watching sports, like full games. It was amazing. It was an epic sports day. So far, what have okay. There's Sunday Night Football last night, Patriots and Seahawks. That was my upset special. It didn't happen. It almost happened. But the Seahawks showed you why I like them out of the NFC. Cowboys and Falcons. That was a meltdown by the Falcons. And by the way, the other thing about the Cowboys, it ain't going to matter. You can win that division with six games. Six games can win you the NFC. I think six will do the NFC East this year. Cowboys aren't great. They're not even. The Cowboys might not even be good. Cowboys are no good. But man, the Eagles. I talk to you about Mahomes. By the way, Justin Herbert, a couple years ago when he was supposed to be the number one pick in the draft, maybe, and it didn't, then he stayed in college and it was a good thing because he didn't look so great. You could see why. You could see why people were saying that back then. He looked great for a guy who just found out he's playing like that moment. First time he steps on an NFL field, finds out he's playing and plays like that, it's really good. It's very encouraging if you're a Chargers fan. They have an excellent defense, but I never thought for a second that Patrick Mahomes is going to lose that game. Not for a second. That's what Mahomes is. Brady and Belichick combined, and I think it was more Belichick than Brady, gave you that feeling for 20 years. No matter what the score was, somehow they're going to do it. You wouldn't even get nervous, right, if you were a Patriots fan. Montana and Walsh were like that. Brady and Belichick even more, I'd say. But in both cases, Brady and Montana, who were the two goats, right? If Brady overtook someone, it was Montana. It had as much to do with the coach as it had to do with their own intrinsic greatness. This Reed-Mahomes combination, or rather Mahomes-Reed, yes, there's a great coach, but you can see it's the player. It's more the player than anyone. Mahomes is so good. I just don't believe he's going to lose the game. Facing a real good defense in a divisional game, whatever you want to say about the Chargers, that's a division, that's a rivalry game. And I never thought for a, I just didn't. I didn't feel like, oh, they're going to, I was like, nah, Mahomes got this. And he did. That's the sick thing. I remember ESPN Stats and Info tweeting out during the Super Bowl when Mahomes was down 10 in the fourth quarter that he'd be the first ever to have three consecutive playoff games. I think it was, off the top of my head, three consecutive playoff games down such as, you know, double digit points at such and such a time and come back in the game. And I thought, okay, let's see you do it, Mahomes. And he did it. It's almost like he's bored early in the game. He's like, come on. Mike Tyson once said after he knocked out, maybe it was it Pinklin Thomas or I forgot who it was, but early on he said, how dare these fighters challenge me with their primitive skills? That's what Mahomes would give me the feeling. Like, come on, let me make this interesting. I'll give you a head start. And he spots the other team 10, 14 points. And he's like, okay, let's start playing. Like a handicap in golf or something. This dude is unbelievable. And speaking of unbelievable, he's the best I've ever seen with my own eyes. You know who he replaces? I'm not talking about greatest, most accomplished. That's Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady. I thought he replaced Joe Montana. Most accomplished. I mean, forget about everything else. Just you put your eyes on him. That guy's the best I've seen. It's Mahomes now. He's the best I've ever seen. He replaces, to me, Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers at his best was unbelievable. And the question was going into this year was, okay, new coach, new offense with LaFleur, more of a game manager now for Aaron Rodgers. Was the way he looked last year, when, by the way, he won 13 games, had a great touchdown interception ratio, and won a playoff game against Russell Wilson. But he didn't look the same. And is that lack of kind of eliteness that you're looking at with Rodgers, is that a function of a new coach, a new system trying to figure things out? Or is he getting a little older? Because sometimes super physically talented guys, as they age, because they didn't have to kind of rely on technique as much as mere mortals, as they don't age as well. Like, I think, again, in boxing, Roy Jones didn't age as well as Bernard Hopkins, because Hopkins wasn't as talented as Roy. So Roy could get away with things because he was just more physically talented than anyone that others couldn't in his prime. But what happens is, as you age, you don't have the fundamentals to fall back on the same way as the guys who don't have that kind of talent and must win on the fundamentals, right? So that was the question with me with Rodgers, too. He kind of does things wrong and he gets them to turn out right because he's so talented. Maybe with his talent on decline, perhaps because of age, maybe he's not the same guy anymore. Oh, sorry, he put that to bed so far this year. Two games in, he's showing you, nope, year two, I know what this dude wants now. I know this system now. Now not only can I game manage, but I can show you what Aaron Rodgers is about. As great as I think Russell Wilson is, if they're all playing at their best, Mahomes 1, Rodgers 2, Russell Wilson 3. Those are the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. And then there's a drop-off. But I would still put Rodgers, if he's right next to Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, has won two rivalry games, divisional games. Don't think that divisional games don't mean anything. They absolutely do. You play differently in your division than outside. Chiefs and Chargers, like, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, maybe Kansas City blows them out because Kansas City's Kansas City. Still, that's a divisional game. Calm down. That's unsurprising when they're hotly contested, when they're closely contested. And Rodgers, in two divisional games, took those boys to school. Like, it's embarrassing how much better he is than the other quarterback. It's a great NFL season so far. And then, of course, for me, I've concentrated on all this. I know McCaffrey hurt his ankle, and that stinks. The Panthers weren't going anywhere. But Saquon with the ACL. Are you kidding me? Like, by what percentage does your life get worse when your favorite athlete, something really bad happens to them on the field of play? Because I would say, 5%, right? Literally, your whole life can get 5% worse, the quality of your life, moment-to-moment living. I think Saquon Barkley, that might be a good 20% hit for me. However my life was, it's 20% worse now, today, because of that injury. Saquon Barkley? You know, I'm a Giants fan. That means whenever we've won, it was always grinded out. If you had a special athlete, it was a defensive guy. Never a guy where the guy on your side on offense is just different than everyone else. Odell was the first guy like that, but he's gone now. Saquon, not only does he have all the Odell stuff on the field, but off the field, carries himself like a franchise quarterback, and he's Iran Barkley's nephew, middleweight champ Iran Barkley, the Blade from the Bronx, and then gets up at and says all the right things and physically is different than anyone who ever lived at the position. No running back ever who could catch like that and was 235 pounds, could also run that fast, stop on a dime, change direction, was that physically strong. Like, he's the greatest running back prospect of all time. And now he has a torn ACL. Most of the time, guys recover to what they were. But that's at least a year. And usually, it's a year out and then maybe a year to come back. The Giants have so far wasted this guy's prime. And knock wood, he can come back and be the same guy. And maybe the Giants will have it together by then. But it looks to me like they're going to have to get rid of Gettleman before the next draft. How much longer can you let this guy mess up the team? Can anyone stop the unstoppable duo in the NBA? And I'm going to tell you what AD hitting that shot told me. I'm going to tell you what it told me. We're going to play telephone.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I couldn't tell. Was I on camera then or not, Raj? I looked up, and there I was. I thought we were going to be seeing highlights. Reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. All I can say about the Lakers game is that Kobe Bryant passed since the last time they played the NBA Finals. I was dropping my daughter, Esther, at basketball practice. Not dropping her, I stay there for it. Steady Buckets, shout out Coach Mackey and Lefty, here in New York. And one of the custodians there comes up to me, "You hear about Kobe?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" And he told me what happened. I said, "Wait," I looked online, and sure enough, and his daughter was on there. It was the worst thing you could, and especially I knew Kobe a little bit when I was in LA. We used to talk and text from time to time. And he was a real family guy. Kobe was thinking about his kids and his family all the time. Sometimes I get a text by accident. One time in particular I'm thinking of, where he'd be like, "Hey, I'm going to grab the whatever, popcorn," or whatever it was he was picking up, because they had family movie night. I guess I was the last person he texted before he texted home. A real family guy. And used to talk about Gianna all the time. And so there I am with my daughter, dropping her off at basketball practice, father-daughter, and I heard this happen to Kobe, who, by the way, Kobe Bryant, I'm not saying he's one of the, Kobe Bryant was the brightest athlete I ever spoke to. I don't know what his measured IQ was, but he was a very, very smart guy. Obviously, without a lot of formal education, because he went right from high school. But he was a citizen of the world and had a lot of kind of worldly education. And was just a very, not just driven, a very smart guy. So it was devastating to hear about. And considering the depths to which the Lakers had sunk, the fact that this is the first time the playoffs roll around and LeBron and AD have them right back knocking on the door to the finals, And instead of a series being knotted 1-1, it's 2-0 Lakers because AD hits a shot. And after he shoots it, says, Kobe, as a generation of kids have done and players have done. What an amazing way to honor the legacy of Kobe Bryant. So that's the first thing on my mind. Here's the next. What were Plumlee and Grant doing? What were they doing on that play? What was the idea defensively there? Lakers also got away with one. But maybe AD hits the shot with a guy in his face anyway. He's 7 feet tall. And here's finally what I thought about. I thought about Giannis. See, everyone now is talking about, well, AD has it. Did he prove with this shot that, you know, he has what it takes to win a championship? Why couldn't he do this in New Orleans? I'm trying to explain to people how hard it is to win a championship in the NBA. Okay, if you're a big, you must have a non-big as good as you to win a championship. If you're one of the greatest bigs who ever lived, you must have another dude just as good as you who's not a big if you want to win a title. Now, let me get to the exceptions first. Hakeem Olajuwon, although the Rockets were loaded the second time, the first time in a league without Michael Jordan. Don't forget, when Jordan came back, it was it for Olajuwon and them, right? No more Rockets championships. But the first one, Hakeem didn't have another dude like him on the floor. But neither did Patrick Ewing, and that's who he was playing. And he did have a really good team, including like a young Sam Cassell, Robert Horry. He had a lot of... So that's an exception. Every 10 or 15 years, you might find one exception. Here's another one. You could say Tim Duncan. Well, Tim Duncan, the first time, had another big as good as him, and the game was different then. And then the next four times had some permutation of Parker, Ginobili, and Kawhi. Yes, Kawhi was young, but okay, if you don't have anyone as good as you, but you have two or three future Hall of Famers on the team, maybe you can get away. Those are the exceptions. All the other all-time dominant bigs, from Wilt Chamberlain, who his entire career had one, and then with the Lakers, got one more, had to play with Jerry West to get that one more. Jerry West. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has 6 chips. 1 with Oscar Robertson, 5 with Magic Johnson. None with anyone else. Shaq has 4 chips. 0 with Penny. Even as great as Penny was, that wasn't enough. Because he's not the equivalent of Shaq. But a prime Dwayne Wade and a prime Kobe, that's the equivalent of Shaq, who's a non-big. He's got 1 with Wade and 3 with Kobe. Even Shaq, Kareem, Wilt. You ain't getting it without another dude as good as you. AD had no shot with the Pelicans. He's a big. Yeah, he came up as a point guard and he grew a foot, like whatever, when he was 15 or whatever it was. And so he can handle. That's true, but he's a big. Is he a center? Is he a power forward? Doesn't matter. He's a rim protecting big. I think of that as a center, but call him a power forward. Whatever. I think of Duncan as a center too, really. But if you want to call him power forwards, whatever. You know, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley, those are power forwards. If you're a rim-protecting guy, I consider you a 5. But whatever you consider it, he's a big. He needs another dude as good as him. Respect to, like, Drew Holiday, who I think is excellent. But Drew Holiday is not the guard equivalent of Anthony Davis, LeBron James is. This is how hard it is in the NBA to win. LeBron plus AD, yep, they're probably going to win a championship. I thought it wouldn't be till next year. Very well might be this year. Maybe this year. Giannis, Chris Middleton ain't going to do it. Ain't going to do it. If you had Bradley Beal and Chris Middleton and you didn't have to give anything up, maybe, but maybe not. It's real hard. And that's what last night was about. AD is knocking on the door because he's playing with a dude every bit as good as him who's not a big, who's a ball handler. Is there a new quarterback in the NFL's Big Five? No Doubt is next.
Max. The podcast.
Hey, before I say anything else, Raj, when I keep coming back on video, am I just sitting there before, like, we come back and everyone's watching me just kind of like staring off into space, or is that just on my monitor? I need to know these things.
I'll take a look next time, but they're probably just looking at you staring off into the distance.
Yeah, that's great. No Doubt is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of me.
No Doubt.
All right, let's hear about it. Let's hear about it, Raj.
All right, now you tease this now, America.
Wait.
What?
Say
you got
no
two things
doubt.
To say.
Let me just say no doubt or nah,
right.
son.
That's right.
No
Let's
doubt
see if you can make it
or
through.
Nah, son. First,
Mitchell has his money on no. Mitchell has his money on no. You won't.
Yeah,
make it
I'm
that.
With Mitchell. Good.
All right. Kyler Murray is in the NFL quarterbacks top five. Top five Kyler Murray yet. Are you ready?
Nah,
to put him
son.
In?
Nah, son. I'm not putting him there. I do think by the end of the season, you might make the argument he's set up for success mainly because of his own talent, but also because he now has an all-world lead receiver. But anyway, nowadays, when you build an offense around the talent, which they didn't used to do, they used to try and shoehorn quarterbacks into whatever the coach's philosophy was. Now they'll build a team around the quarterback more. Second-year quarterback, dynamic offensive team potentially, and so far he's going to be really good, Kyler Murray.
All right, fun to watch too. Love watching these games.
Great to watch. And by the way, predictable. He was going to have a big year. Go ahead.
All right, the Falcons are 0-2 and have allowed, get this, a combined 78 points in their first two games. Max, Dan Quinn will be the first head coach fired this season.
No, Gase will be the first head coach. Nah, son, I did it. I missed it. No doubt. Right. Nah, son. Say either no doubt or not. Nah, yep. son. No, no. Gase will be the first to go. But okay. Quinn could follow him. The thing, it's weird about Dan Quinn. By the way, one of the nicest guys. You ever talk to Dan Quinn? Such a nice guy. But like maybe that, I don't know, maybe that's a problem for a football coach. His teams are like they've experienced some epic collapses. Now, of course, to have an epic collapse, you need to have a big lead, right? To have an epic collapse in the Super Bowl, you not only have to get to the Super Bowl, you need a big lead in the Super Bowl. So he's doing better than many, but the downside is more painful as a result. Falcons are a snake bit organization. As I mentioned earlier, them and the Chargers, no matter what kind of lead they have, you're like, you know what you say, Raj? You look at them and you go, nah, son.
Ah, I like it. There you go.
Yeah, I brought it around. I brought it around. Yeah.
Speaking of the Jets and their head coach, let's hear from them.
All right.
I'm pissed right now. I mean, it's no fun going out there and getting your ass beat. So, I mean, we need to get better fast.
All right, check it out. The New York teams will pick first and second in the 2021 NFL draft.
Nah, son. The Jets will pick first. The Giants will do something stupid. And, like, they'll be in a position to pick first or second. And then they'll, like, at the end of the season in meaningless games, like, win back-to-back, right? And everyone will be, you know, like, Giants fans will be cheering. The dumb ones and the smart ones will be like, what are you doing, you know? And so, like, I know the Giants well enough to know they're not going to tank. They're going to compete. But by the way, it doesn't matter where, if you can't draft and especially develop, it doesn't matter. Gettleman's now had three seasons. In those 3 years, the Giants have the second worst overall record in football. How many more seasons do you want, Gettleman? How long till you turn it around? Anyway, right. did I say Nasa? I did. I said it.
You did.
I am the champion that time of saying Nasa or no doubt. Right. Go ahead.
No, let's end on a high note. Why don't you take a call then? So let's end on a high note since you finally got through the segment and doing it correctly. You got 1 minute. Get in a quickie.
Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, I think the Chargers got their quarterback of the future. Roll with our hand, play with house money. Mm-hmm. You've heard of Wally Pipp, right? I think you got to let the young quarterback keep his job.
Wally Pipp was a star first baseman for the Yankees. He in the 20s, he complained of a headache one day. Lou Gehrig replaced him and didn't come out of the lineup for 2,130 games consecutively. So getting Wally Pipped is maybe what happened to Tyrod Taylor. I agree. You've got to take another look at Justin Herbert. You know, I think he earned another start there. I think he did. All right, look, we got a lot coming up. Wild NFL Sunday. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN.